Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 031. Yes, this is the Big Caffeination 31. This is the Mother's Day edition of Caffeination. I'd like to say hi to all the mothers out there and wish you a happy and healthy next year. So I hope everybody had a great day today. We hit, about five houses today, probably. So the wife and I are more than a little tired, as you can probably understand. So this might not be the longest of Caffeinations, and I know a bunch of you out there who've been listening for a while are sitting there going, thank God, because I've been running a little long lately. But then again, I could go even longer tonight. I don't know. I have a nice cup of coffee with me today, so we'll see exactly how this goes. If you're wondering about the music in the background, it's actually the theme song to the old video game Frogger. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the talk bed or background music in a little bit, but first off, I'd just like to give you a little synopsis about what you're going to hear on the show today. The first thing up, we're going to have a whole bunch of great stuff in the Tech Tidbits section. Then we're going to go on to some TPN info, the Tech Podcasting Network information. We have a couple good caffeinated bits lined up for you today. As always, plenty of great PodSafe music lined up. And that's just about what you can expect here. So if you're listening to this podcast over at the stream from techpodcast.com, you might want to head over to our website at www.caffination.com. You can call our listener line at 206-202-2338, and you can send us an email at caffination@gmail.com. Well, all right. First up from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have The Alice Project with their song Happy Mother's Day. So here you go with that song, and let me know what you think of this.
Oh, baby, you arrived today. So tiny and perfect and squirming away and I hold you for the first time. You're so amazing now. What can I say? And we're tossing and turning and getting no sleep and rocking and rolling, trying to get you to eat. And I'm singing you love songs I've forgotten for years. I know it's your day, but it's my day too. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Come on in now, it's getting dark. I said so now. Don't be so smart. Then you're on my back and I'm down on all fours. And we're laughing and singing and sharing the chores. And there's heartaches and headaches and worries and pain, along with the dancing and splashing. Life that is for one that I never trade. If one thing is true, I simply love you. And this is Mother's Day. Oh, this is Mother's Day. And oh, even when you're all grown,
Again, that was the Alice Project with their song Happy Mother's Day. I really always admire songs when they have absolutely beautiful vocals and beautiful instrumentals in the same piece. Because usually on the PodSafe Music Network, you're guaranteed one or the other. Either somebody is really like dead on with the way they're playing their particular instrument, or they are... Or they just have like a knockdown, drag out voice. It's very rare that you find the combination of the two melded so perfectly in that song. I don't know, I was looking around for the Mother's Day stuff, and they had some funny stuff, they had some, had some kind of silly stuff, and then you got the other kind of mothers that always come up when you search for mother. So, I really liked this song, thought it was a good way to start off the show. So, I want to do something. We actually got a little bit of listener feedback. I don't know if you've noticed, but over the past two shows, I've been throwing a different bit of talk bed. That would be the music that plays under when I actually speak. You might have heard this one. Yeah. See, this is a song I actually made from GarageBand. I was pretty proud of it, thought I did a half-decent job, but I had more than a couple people say, dude, A, you're overusing it, and B, it's kind of irritating. And then I got an email from one of our listeners, Susabel, who actually said, yeah, it sounds like really bad porn music. So there's only one way to take care of this, and that would be... Yeah, that song is dead. We will never be playing that song again. So, thank you everybody for your comments out there. And now I've had a couple other suggestions about when to and not to use talk beds. So we're just going to throw it out to the general listening audience. I already have two votes at four and one vote against using the talk beds. So I'm just going to kind of phrase it very succinctly here. If you think that me playing music in the background is irritating and you don't want to hear it anymore, send an email to caffeination@gmail.com saying, please stop the music. If you are in favor of the music and you don't think it detracts from anything, please send an email to caffeination@gmail.com and to put as your subject heading, save the music. So I will follow the will of the masses, so to speak. Until then, I kind of like the music, but you will never hear that song again. Apparently I wasn't as good as I thought I was with those kind of songs, so we're just going to let that one lie. I might pull it out every once in a while if I actually have a... No, never mind. I'm just going to leave it exactly where it is right now. I think it's bleeding in a gutter somewhere right now. One more shot just for good measure. There we go. Alright, well, the tech tidbits section here today is loaded for bear. Now, my wife actually found the next bit of tech goodness here, so I'm not actually going to play it on here because it's a video and this is a podcast, not a video podcast, so you wouldn't actually be able to see it. It has some really great audio to it, but it's one of those things you actually have to see to believe because there's so many little visual clues into it. But there's a video that's been up on YouTube, Google Video, and a whole bunch of other different things. And it's about two brothers trying to send their mom a nice picture for Mother's Day. Now, my wife Jen actually has two brothers who are have been known to fight over any and everything. And so the video struck pretty close to home for us, but it is an absolutely hilarious video. If you have time, I think it's like... 2 minutes long. You should really go over there and check it out. It's first linked up in the show notes today. Now, I'm usually a pretty big good fan of YouTube because I like the way they do it. I just kind of wish there was like a comment filter on there. So some of the comments on there might actually be not safe for work and not very child friendly. But the video itself, which you have to actually scroll down to get the comments. So if you're afraid of being offended or if you think any young eyes might be offended, then don't scroll down. But the video itself is completely child and work safe. So please load that one up and see if you like it. Well, on to the PS3 Econo and Deluxe models. I don't know if they actually have a separate name or anything for it, so I don't know what to refer to it as, you know what I mean? But I actually did a little bit more research, and I should have remembered this for last time, but I found out what the difference is between the two models. I also don't know if they actually have different titles yet. But, alright, on the Deluxe model, you obviously get everything. That includes the Blu-ray DVD player, you know, the new disc format for high def output, and you get the you get the what's that called? the HDMI interface on there, and you get like a whole bunch of other things. You get like a little media stick card reader so that you can use the ever-present Sony media stick to go between whatever Sony products you have. So, It has all that. Has integrated Wi-Fi in there. Has a whole bunch of stuff. The Kano model still has the high-def DVD player. Still has the Blu-ray DVD player. I actually think that's an incorrect term to call it a Blu-ray DVD player, since a DVD is not actually a Blu-ray disc. One has the high-def Blu-ray player in there, but it doesn't have the HDMI output, so you really don't get true high-def output from it, but you still have the Blu-ray. Okay, it doesn't even have the capability of outputting it. You also don't have an integrated media card reader, and you don't have an integrated wireless. Now, Sony's justification for this is that you can always hook up a USB, and they have USB ports on there, but you can always hook up a USB media card reader, and you can hook up a USB wireless adapter and a whole bunch of other stuff. But there is no way to actually upgrade to the true high-def output. And unfortunately, unlike Microsoft's offering with the two different consoles that were completely interchangeable, basically, if I take the hard drive off my Xbox 360 and I use wired controllers, then it's basically a core model. But with the you can go freely from one to the other, basically. If you buy a core, you can eventually upgrade, so you have a normal Xbox 360 or whatever they ended up calling it. So I don't like the fact that Sony's PS3 is not really upgradable between the two. So, I don't know. I mean, it's completely up to you, and I've talked to a bunch of people about it, both in work and at home and a couple other places, and a lot of avid gamers are both excited about the PS3, but really kind of apprehensive because that price point is really high. I kind of didn't like Sony's attitude when they were talking about it, because they're like, oh, well, people will pay it. And it came out sort of towards the end of E3, where the Microsoft director of gaming or something like that, Peter Moore, was coming out and said, well, if you have $600 in your pocket, what are you going to buy? Are you going to buy just a PS3, or are you going to buy an Xbox 360 and a Nintendo Wii? Yeah, I think I'd probably go for the Xbox 360 and the Nintendo Wii. Of course, I already have the 360, but still, I mean, I don't know, I'd rather two for the price of one, you know what I mean? All about the economy of the dollar, or being economical. That came out completely wrong. All right, well, one more thing about E3 here is the Booth Babe controversy. Now, I didn't mention anything about this, and I don't know if anybody out there really knows about it, but kind of like a car show, there's scantily clad women that are usually around video game displays, kind of trying to attract the most prevalent demographic, the 18 to 25 and 25 to 40 demographic of males, into the booths in the various technology sectors. So, they're ever-present, and they're always there, and some of them are dressed as characters from video games, some of them are dressed as, just having company logo on there and everything, and they're trying to attract people in. Well, E3, in kind of response, shall we say, to the more conservative attitude of this current administration, some of the other more recent things out there, have kind of taken to toning it down a little bit. They said the bylaws have been in effect for a while, but you really won't even notice the change. I linked a story up in there, and you can actually see there's a slideshow attached, Booth Babes Then and Now, and there is a marked difference. I don't necessarily think that it took away from the conference that much. I just kind of think it's a ridiculous thing to spend your time on as an entity. I mean, you already have a very successful conference. People always look to you anyway. I mean, that's kind of like a nickel and dime situation. I mean, it's small change. I mean, why even bother associating with it? I mean, some people are saying it's an outcropping of the Hot Coffee mod, where they found code inside the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas to modify it, and you could see an illicit scene in there, but I don't really know if I buy that. I think it's kind of just a general conservative mindset of a large percent of the populace right now. So, I mean, if you are of that persuasion and you think I'm full of crap, then please send me an email at caffeination@gmail.com. We can start an open discourse. Or if you'd like and you're feeling brave enough, you can dial the voicemail line and we can start a dialogue or a discourse that way. I'm always up to intelligent debate. If you feel like Skyping me, you can Skype me at caffi-nation. That's my Skype username. Usually it's active during a show, not so much today. But if you feel like Skyping me, especially when I'm taping, I will gladly talk to you during the show or even tape it afterwards and we can include it into a show. So, all right, now on to the media darling MySpace. If you look up in the show notes, we have something that says drama, 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 teens, and MySpace when bloggers attack. Well, I want to get this correct. Apparently, there's a new bill that would block off access to a wide variety of websites and social networking sites, and blogs, actually, in schools and libraries. Because, you know, we have to protect our children from online predators. And while I admire the spirit that the bill was crafted in, I don't know if I can actually condone the way they do it. Because if you do it that way, that means, because basically they say, somewhere in the midst of the legislation of the bill, it says if you can log onto a website, create a profile, and post comments, then it shouldn't be allowed to be accessed. Meanwhile, almost every news site, every blog, lets you log on, create a profile, and post comments. I mean, that's kind of how the blogosphere operates. One person posts a story, other people come on, and it becomes a dialogue between people. I mean, it's a public dialogue, and it's actually helped to further the way we talk about things, I think. But, for instance, under those kind of regulations, that means Slashdot would be blocked. CNET News would be blocked. One of the forums that I go in kind of frequently, the Overclockers Addiction, or the former Overclockers Addiction, now the Dev Hardware Forum, would be blocked. So I really don't know what the point is of that kind of overarching. I understand that they didn't want to necessarily block MySpace, because then students would just use something else. And I understand where they're coming from, but it kind of makes it's... I don't know. I can't really explain my feelings without being sure of what's going to come out here, but it's too overreaching. I don't really think that it's something that really needs to be dealt with in that manner. I think it's kind of ridiculous to just make this huge overarching law that says, by high decree, you shall not be able to access MySpace or anything else that might prove to eventually be dangerous. Okay, so that means you're not going to let students into gym class because they could fall and hurt themselves. You're not going to let students walk to or from school now because, I mean, there could be a child predator anywhere within the area they might walk to school. God forbid they take the bus or the subway or train to school because, you know, there's child predators there. Oh yeah, by the way, sports are out because that involves traveling with coaches who may be unsupervised. So, I mean, why don't we just put the kids in bubbles and we can operate from there? I mean, I'm sure everybody would be very happy with it. So, I mean, I've had a couple people tell me, like, oh yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have a kid yet. Yeah, I understand that, but it's also possible to think about a topic without having to actually experience it. And I understand that I am going to be experiencing it because my wife's having a child in September. But really, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of people are overreacting here. And most parents that you talk to, good parenting would kind of eliminate a lot of the problems that a lot of these people are seeing. I mean, some parents just don't want to be that involved in what their kids are doing online. I plan to freely tell my kids, you know, look, your dad's a bit of a computer guy, so any of those websites that you visit, he'll know about it. I'll go online, I'll show him how to use everything, I'll talk to them about it. I mean, if you have an open dialogue with your kids, I don't really see where it would be a problem. It's when you start prohibiting things that, you know, it makes them taboo, it makes them interesting. So it's like, okay, you told me not to do this. So the first thing I'm going to do when I go over to my buddy's house is I'm going to create a MySpace profile, I'm going to put all my crap up there, and you know what? It's just kind of ridiculous. I mean, I know I'm going on a little bit long here, so I think we're probably going to cut this topic short, but if you have anything you'd like to say about it, please, please, please send us an email, send us a voicemail, do the whole nine yards. Okay, well, now on to a little thing. I don't know if I have a lot of time for this. Just wanted to kind of give you an overview here, too, but I wanted to talk a little bit about, since we've been talking a lot about the horrors of the IT support industry, I wanted to talk a little bit about the worst things I've ever seen done to a computer. Now, everybody understands the cup holder story. People have spilled things in keyboards. That's small potatoes, you know? The things that I've seen done to computers are kind of interesting. Since I work in a university, and you know a lot of the students have tools and glue and other things, then you get some very strange things. Like, imagine the front of your computer. I mean, everybody, if you're in front of your computer, you should look at it now. And look at every crevice where this drive comes out. You know, like if you hit the button, there's cracks all around where the button is. There's cracks where the drive comes out. All those little lines. Now fill all of them with glue. Yeah, I had one computer that had that. I also had one student apparently didn't think that the buttons were big enough, so they glued pieces of wood to the front of all of the buttons just to help people out. I've had people switch all of the keys around, but that's really no big deal. It's just one of those things where it's irritating, and you know where all the keys are, and you're beginning to type around and everything, then you look down and like, okay, why is the Q next to the H, and why does the top row spell a dirty word? Alright, yeah, you're really funny. I don't know. It's just stuff I've seen. I've also seen people write my name into the top of the computer. Well, that was pretty loud. Yeah, we live next to a rather large road, and every once in a while you get the cop cars going by, or the screech but no bang, you know, the normal traffic sounds, but sometimes they kind of filter in through the window. So I think there was a truck that screeched to a stop outside somewhere. The other two things I wanted to tell you about was my name was written into the top of the computer with some kind of acetone or something that cut into the actual plastic, so I had to grind it down to get that out of there. And I also have seen students just take the mouse in your hand. If you have a corded mouse right now, take the mouse and as hard as you can, imagine pulling down and away over the corner of your desk, and then just walking up to your computer and seeing just the cord there with the frayed wires sticking out. Yeah, that's the kind of things I deal with in work, and every once in a while it kind of gets to me a little bit, and I kind of bug out a little bit, but it's alright. Semester's over right now, so now it's time to fix all the stuff that they broke over the past couple months and start anew. This is the Sisyphean...
Yeah.
That's not even a word. Yeah, that's the whole Sisyphus rolling a rock up a hill and watching it tumble back down kind of scenario going on there. So if I ever have one of those days, I just kind of look and say, you know what? 3 months from now, it'll all start over, and it'll just be different kids. And you just kind of have to hope for a good batch to come through that year. So on to the Tech Podcast Network news. Okay, first up, the U3 Developer Contest is winding up. You have to have your submissions in by the end of this month. So head on over to techpodcast.com/contest, and you should be able to find it. If it's not there, just head on over to techpodcast.com and look for the link on the main page. There's also a link to the recent Tech Podcast Roundtable from 4/29/2006. You should definitely give that roundtable a watch, because there's a lot of good content in there, especially on how to port your particular applications to the U3 Developers platform. So it's an interesting little exercise to watch and see how other people think. And also the next person from the TPN over there, the Tech Podcast Network. The next person, Allison from the Nozilla Cast, over at podfeet.com/WordPress. Sorry about that, Allison. I had to look at my notes there. But her podcast is turning one tomorrow. So 5/15/2006 will be the 1 year anniversary of Allison starting the podcast. So congratulations. As I said before, that's a huge milestone. Right now, we've only been in operation about 5 months, so definitely take our hats off to you. So got some great stuff going on over there. She actually did a little lesson on the Tech Podcast Roundtable from 4/29 on Parallels, and the basically using the new Intel Macs to run Windows in parallel formation with the Mac OS X operating system basically at the same time as opposed to the Mac boot camp version where you have to dual boot. So if you're interested in that, you want some screenshots and basically how to do the whole thing, you can thank Allison from podfeet.com and the Nozilla Cast, and head on over to techpodcast.com and see her presentation. She's actually the first one lined up, so I'd definitely take a look at that. So, all right, well, again, congratulations, Allison. And on for our caffeinated bits today. So, yeah, we have a whole bunch of caffeinated bits. Since I've decided that I don't care how it sounds, I love recipes. I love looking at different ways of making things. So I found one that I've actually tried, and it's a wonderful little blend here. Of course, it has coffee in it. I'm going to try and get some caffeinated recipes that don't necessarily have coffee. But I thought this one was really interesting. It's kind of a variation on the Caribbean or St. Lucian coffee recipe that I threw out there before. But this is called the Mexican coffee recipe. All right, you take 2 cups of water, 1/2 cup of coffee grounds. So they're supposed to be actually ground coarsely. So if you usually do what I suggest and buy the whole beans with the little $5 to $10 grinder that you can get from your supermarket aisle, then I would suggest doing this. Put 1 tablespoon of brown sugar and 1 cinnamon stick. That's all you need. You put everything into a saucepan, bring to a boil, and reduce the heat and simmer for about 5 minutes. Then you use a strainer and strain it into your mugs. It's that simple. I've tried this, and it is wonderful. It's an absolutely simple, dead easy recipe for a great cup of coffee. It has kind of a cinnamony sweet, obviously, because you have cinnamon and sugar coming in there, but it has a definite different taste, because it's brewed differently. And if you have, like I tried it, I actually have a cast iron pot that it's been seasoned, and it was actually kind of really interesting to do it in that too, basically because I didn't want to ruin any of the other pots that we have around here, but and that pot is indestructible, so it didn't even hurt it, and didn't even, like, you know, look like it would have hurt a normal saucepan, but it was a very, very interesting way to do it. Also, they have another way you can do this. It's called the Mexican mocha, and the only thing that you really need to do differently after you make the straining is you add 1/2 cup of whipped cream, or not 1/2 cup of whipped cream, sorry, you add whipped cream to it and a little bit of chocolate syrup across the top of the mug. So that's a wonderful thing. You can find that linked up in the show notes and try out those recipes along with many others from that website. And two things that I recently did today. I'm a mixer. I like to mix different things together to see how they taste. And sometimes it turns out really badly, and sometimes it turns out pretty good. Well, lately I've been drinking a lot of the Sprite Zero because I need something different than water and coffee all the time, but I needed a little bit of a caffeine fix. So what I did was I took 1/2 teaspoon. First of all, I poured all the Sprite Zero into an iced glass, and then I took 1/2 teaspoon of the Medaglio d'Oro, the espresso coffee that I bought from the supermarket a while back. I'm trying to use it up little by little, and I sprinkled it over the top. Now, you can't do this too quick, because if you do it too quick, it foams up and then bops right out over the glass and makes a holy mess of everything. But then after you do that, all you have to do is mix it very, very slowly, and you end up with a wonderful cup of coffee there. Coffee soda. And if you use the Sprite Zero, it doesn't actually have any of the calories or anything else associated with it. It's just basically ground coffee with a different kind of base. So in that same vein, another thing that I recently did was I have this seasoning, which is supposed to turn normal, everyday water into cider, and it makes everything taste, you know, kind of syrupy sweet. It's all right, but I took a little bit of 1/2 teaspoon to 1 teaspoon of the Chock-Full of Nuts instant coffee, threw that in a mug, heated up the water and everything, got the nice frothy top on the top, then took 2 teaspoons of instant cider and poured it in there, and stirred that around nice and good, let it sit for a little bit, and that's what I'm drinking right now. Gives you a little bit of a sugar kick, and it adds kind of like a fall flavor to the coffee. So I don't think I'm going to be doing it again, probably till the end of the summer, beginning of fall. My favorite season of the year is fall, so a lot of the flavors that I go for have that kind of feel to them. So we're actually going to look into some coffee related recipes for the summer. I mean, everybody knows the old standby iced coffee, so we're going to see what else we can dig up for you. And if anybody out there has a caffeinated recipe or recipe otherwise, you can send it into caffeination@gmail.com. We'd be glad to share it with the rest of the listening audience. Okay, and on to the last bit from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Up here we have a song called When Mothers Conspire by The Blue Alarm from Kezart Records, and it's also found at the PodSafe Music Network. Every once in a while you get a record label, a smaller record label, which releases a bunch of its artists, so that's why they kind of the weird intro, because they have Kezart Records in the band name when they say that it's actually by The Blue Alarm, and that's of course what the ID3 tag says. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw this one out there. It's a different kind of song than we've been playing here on the Caffeination. But then again, when we did the whole Happy Mother's Day at the first beginning of the song, that was a different way, and it sounded pretty good. So let me know what you think about this one.
Back on Earth, difficult
others conspire. So that just about wraps it up for today's podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So this has been a pretty interesting show here, and I'd just like to send it out the right way. So again, if you have listener comments, you can send them to 206-202-2338. Our email again is caffeination@gmail.com, and you can find this podcast at www.caffeination.com. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.